Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
He's going to call you by name personally, and you're going to step out in it, and you will begin to experience an eternity that we could have ever only hoped for and imagined. It's an amazing thing, the plan of God for you and for me. It really is. Yesterday, here in this auditorium, two memorial services took place for two individuals, one from Joy Church, one from SCRC. Two individuals that loved their Heavenly Father. And he loved that. And in Earl's case, he loved his family. He loved those that were around him. And this room was packed full of people. It was packed full of people. It was an amazing event to listen to the testimony of family members talking about the family member that they had lost, their dad. Two boys stood on this platform. Two young men. One is the Maryville head basketball coach today. His name is Mark Stricker. And the other is Brad Stricker. His father started a company called Right Away Tree Trimming Services. They had massive trucks out front. Biggest trucks I've ever seen in front of the church. And they were paying tribute to a man who they loved with all of their hearts. And I'm going somewhere with this. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. Keep playing, guys. God's hand is on you. It's an amazing thing when we get a chance to pay tribute to someone, how we will pack a house. Can I issue the challenge? For those of us that are in the house today, there's no one else that can worship the Heavenly Father except you and me. We pay tribute to Him. We don't just do it on Communion Sunday. When Pastor Mike comes up and does the communion on the first Sunday of the month, that's kind of a paying tribute at that day. But I got to tell you, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, those are all days of tribute. And when we come in here together, we need to be coming in here with the sacrifice of praise, with a joy where the saints of God begin to shout unto Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever and forever and forever. Boy, heaven will be boring if you don't like that. It will really be frustrating for you. Honey, would you go to the front of the line? I can't take this stuff anymore. I can just imagine. I'm going to bring the guys back. We're going to sing this again. We're going to go through this one more time. And I just want to encourage you to press into the presence of God. I want you to set aside things that are distracting to you. Unless you're using your cell phone for a bit of looking up Bible verses or something of an emergency, just go ahead and put them away. Turn them off. Let all distractions go, because you're in the house of the King. I said, you're in the house of the King. You're in the house of the Holy of Holies. You have entered into His presence. Now it's time, Psalms 100, to enter with thanksgiving in our hearts and into His courts with praise. Now it's time, because He's calling your name. And it is a good time, because we have a good, good Father. Give the Lord another hand. Come on. Isn't God amazing? Can you hand me my Bible just for a second? Stay standing just for a second. Isn't God amazing? I think we can do better than that. I said, is our King amazing? Is our King amazing? He is worthy of all worship. He is worthy. You say, man, I've had a rough week. Join the crowd. If you have children, join the crowd. Everybody's got rough times. This is what Jesus promised. If you were looking for an easy ride with Christ, this is what Jesus said. If you follow me, you will have trouble. That's what He said. How many know when Jesus said it, it's prophecy? prophet, priest, and king. Prophesied of him and said, if you follow me, you will have trouble, but be of good cheer. He didn't leave it there, did he? He said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world for you. Three of us agreed with that. Okay. He said, I have overcome the world for you. And that means all the trouble, all the stuff. He's already won. He has already won. He has already won. That means you have already won because you have a king's ransom. You have the king's inheritance, the lion of the tribe of Judah. You have a lion's share. You have the lion's share. Did you hear that? You got the lion's share, the lion of the tribe of Judah. You got the inheritance. You don't have to worry about what's in the will. It's already promised right here. It's already promised. The will's already spelled out. I've changed my dad's will 3 times. My heavenly father's never changed his will once. I get it all. No, seriously. There's enough for all of us to get it all. If we could ever really get that, Mike, you and I, you know, we're going to have to share condo. You know, it's you know, doing a condo kind of a thing. You take the one bedroom in the upper. No, we get it all. I'll be over at Mike's on weekends, Mike and Carmen, you know. I've already laid claim on my wife for heaven. And if I don't get her there, I've laid claim for the new heaven and the new earth. I'm just saying. Because I believe there's a good shot we'll get this amazing journey through eternal life. And it won't be boring, and I intend to have a family. Don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. God is so good to us, isn't he? Hey, listen, if you would do this, would you welcome, he is home today, Sergeant Zach Simons, the United States Marines, standing right back here. We honor you, buddy. We honor you. Wave so everybody know who you're talking about. United States Marines. United States Marines. The few, the proud, and the Marines. You even got Air Force people waving at you and clapping, buddy. That's pretty good. Now, Army's a little stubborn. I'm just saying. And Navy, there you go. I'm just saying. But we welcome you home, buddy. We're proud of you. He is training. He's going into training it's an officer's training. Yeah, a simple word. I just couldn't think of it. Officer's training. Simple words escape me. Expialidocious will never escape me. I don't know why. We're proud of you, Zach. Thank you. Zach, is your name on that wall of honor? Should be. Okay, he is on our wall of honor. While I got your attention on the wall of honor, we are doing something very unusual. You may be seated just for a second. I want to tell you, and then I'm going to bring Pastor Mike up. Give a great hand to this band, guys. Give a great hand. In October, I've already got the date set. Pam is going to advertise it soon. But I want you to start preparing for something. Last week, I was in the VA hospital. I was there with my dad. He was having some problems. And I sat in an emergency room, and I watched more young VA reps. Got a lot of families away today. Write them all. Tell them they missed a great service. Tell them we missed them huge. Tell them we missed them huge. But I sat and I looked in that waiting room, and I saw in that waiting room all these young guys. When I say young, they're my age. Saw these young guys. I saw men just older than me, no doubt Vietnam War era. If we got any Vietnam War vets, stand up. Anybody in the Vietnam era? Gary? Anybody else? Anybody else in the building? Bernie served during the Vietnam War. Anyone else? Oh. Rod. Okay, everybody stand up, Vietnam vet. Everybody stand up, Vietnam vet. Okay. Give him a hand, guys. Thank you. You may be seated. I sat and I watched the Vietnam vets in this room, and I talked to some of them. And I sat there, and one man I was talking to, he had his voice box removed, and he had one of those metal things that he puts to his throat for the vibration. And he went, you know what I'm talking about, what the sound of that is. And I asked him, we had a great conversation. His name was Herman. I said, Herman, what happened? What happened? He said, well, I served my country proudly. I was proud to serve. And he said, I had problems when I came back, and there was definitely some difficult words that were said to me. And I sat and I had a conversation with him about that. I said, but I mean, on the voice box, what happened? He said, oh, I had problems. I kept feeling lumps. He said, and when they went in and opened me up, it was orange. You see, all of those who went through that battle era, that time period, that were sprayed accidentally with Agent Orange, wherever that takes seed and causes cancer, the cancer is orange. And that's how they identified so quickly. And his voice box was immediately removed because of Agent Orange. The man was never welcomed home in a proper way. So here, as I talk with you, I want to tell you what our goal is for October. You know what our Wall of Honor days look like, where we honor men and women of our service. We are specifically going to target the Vietnam War veterans in one of our services on Sunday morning. They'll hear the gospel, they'll hear hope, and they'll hear love and appreciation and mercy. But every one of those Vietnam vets that walk in this room that you're going to invite, we're going to sponsor them. In the past, I've asked you to sponsor them. But I'm asking you only this time to invite them. Just invite. I'm inviting two individuals that I know of right now, a cousin and a close friend. One of those friends spoke at my mother's memorial service. I'm going to invite every Vietnam vet that I run into between now and October to be a part of an honoring service here in St. Charles River Church. And they're going to hear these words, maybe for the first time, welcome home from a proud and grateful nation. They're going to hear that, and they're going to hear it loudly from the people of St. Charles River Church. And then they're going to hear how welcome they would be as a part of the family of God here at SCRC. Not just because I'm going to say it from the platform, but because every one of you are going to walk up to those veterans at the end of our service, and you're going to give them the honor that has long been due to them, and it was robbed of them. One guy literally in an airport here in St. Louis told me the story that he was spit on and called something horrendous that I won't even say from this platform. Well, we're going to change. We can't undo that. But we're going to change their perception of how America feels about them. And we're going to honor them that day. Would you join me? Start asking people, are you Vietnam vet? When did you serve? Right, Earl? That's what we're going to do. We're going to start honoring people. The word says, honor those whom are worthy of honor. And we're going to do that. I'll give it to you. What is it, Pam? October 8th. That's correct. That is right. October 8th. I'll give you more information as we get closer. It's a Sunday morning. It's a Sunday morning, yes. So I want you to know what's going to be taking place. Listen, God is awesome. Are you glad you're here today? Are you expecting something today? Well, I got news. I'm expecting something great because God is in the house. Because God is in the house, and the Bible says, wherever two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And I want to invite right now our senior associate pastor to come, Pastor Mike Alexander. He's going to share with you on Father's Day, I believe, a powerful message for you. God bless you guys.
Thank you, Pastor Barry. Real quick, follow-up to what Pastor Barry was just saying, what we're going to do here in October. You know, last weekend we had some men that went to Memphis, and Pastor Bill's dad was with us. And he had a Vietnam veteran's hat on, and so there were a couple people that asked him questions about serving. And it was great, as they were asking him and allowing him to share, was not so that they could ridicule him, but to honor him and for the work that he did in serving his country. And I think we also shared last week, we found out he will dive on a foul ball like a grenade and sacrifice his life for that, and it was awesome. Pastor Mike has already said Happy Father's Day. I want to change that just a little bit today. I want to change one word in that. That word, I want to change the word father to daddy. Happy Daddy's Day today. And the reason I want to do that is because as I've gone through, I just find that word just carries so much more meaning. Father is a great term of respect. It really is. But it also carries a lot of formality with it. But when we can call someone our daddy, I think that just means so much more. There's just so much more intimacy that goes with that. And as I was thinking about that, I was remembering back, I had my grandpa Krim, which is my maternal grandfather, passed away about 25 years ago. And the one thing that I remembered about that was how my mom, my aunt, and my two uncles, even up to the day that he died, and even since then, as they've shared stories about him, referred to him as Daddy. They called him Daddy. And I just always thought that was so sweet as I thought back on that, because there is such a, as I said, such an intimacy that goes with that. Do we have any Guardians of the Galaxy fans out here? There, we got a few. In the first movie, if you saw the first movie where Peter is a young boy and he's at the hospital, he already doesn't have a father, and he's at the hospital and his mom is dying. And as she's dying in the hospital room, he runs out and he's abducted by aliens. And then you fast forward, he's an adult, he's a scavenger, he's got a gentleman named Yondu who is his mentor. Yondu's kind of a crazy looking blue dude if you haven't seen the movie, but he's kind of his mentor. Well, even though he's his mentor, they have a lot of conflict going between the two of them. And then we jump into the second movie, and I try not to give too much away if you haven't seen it yet, but as we jump into the second movie, Peter actually finds out his father's alive. His father was an alien, played by Kurt Russell, and aptly named, as you find out later, is very appropriately named Ego, because he does have a little bit of an ego in the movie. So Peter meets his father, and he's very excited about this. This is great. I finally get to meet my dad and learn about him. Well, as you go through the movie, what you find out is his dad doesn't really have his best interest in heart. As I said, his name is Ego. It's appropriate. He's more worried about what benefits him, not what benefits his son. So there's a part near the end of the movie where Peter's fighting for his life, and there's Yondu, the crazy blue dude, helping him, saving him. And he looks at him, and he utters a line I just thought spoke volumes. He said, talking about Ego, he may have been your father, but he wasn't your daddy. And I thought, wow, I mean, that just really hit home to me. And something we've talked about so much around here at SCRC, and I know it's still a concept that's hard for some folks to wrap their arms around. And that is, as we think about our Heavenly Father, is looking at him as our daddy. Because he does want to have that intimate relationship with us, that one-on-one relationship. One thing about my dad, as I was thinking about it, was that regardless of whatever problems, you know, we may have had as fathers and sons and that, was that I have a brother and myself. My dad found time to find something that he could share with each one of us individually. With my brother, it was a love of guns and horses. So they would go shooting, they'd go hunting. My brother got some horses when he was a teenager. My dad would help him care for those horses, teach him to ride. They would share that with me. It was sports. We watched baseball, football, basketball, hockey. Even though he wasn't a big, I loved hockey as a kid. Even though my dad wasn't a big hockey fan, he would watch. We would go to games. Boxing was a big one. Believe it or not, I was a huge boxing fan back in the day. And that was when you could actually watch boxing without having to pay $59.95 to see something. But he found a way to connect with each one of us. And baseball was my first love. He would stand out there. We would play catch for hours. When I grew up, I played shortstop and I pitched. So he would play catch with me if I wanted to practice pitching. Now, he wouldn't kneel down and catch. That was not going to happen. He would grab a neighbor boy and have him kneel down and catch. And then he would stand there and coach me. But he spent that time with me. That was our connection there. And it just made me think about how our Heavenly Father wants to have that intimacy with us. And that's what the message is today. The title is You're Still the One. And we're going to look at Luke chapter 15. And I know that it's a pretty prominent passage. It's one where a lot of us are probably familiar with. One thing I have found out over the years is no matter how much you may have read a story, if you were brought up in church and you think, oh man, I know that one. I've heard that a million times. You can always find something. If you really dig into it, you can always find something that you maybe missed before. At my previous church, I taught an adult Sunday school class. We're going to switch mics, okay? But I can tell you. Thank you, Teresa. Oh, yeah, that's much better, isn't it? Did you guys catch all that, or do I need to go back and repeat anything? But in Luke 15, you know, I found out over the years, I taught at my previous church, I taught the same Sunday school class for 6 years. And, of course, every December we would have some sort of Christmas-themed lesson that we would go over. And after a while, you're like, really? What more can we do with this? But I would always find something a little different that I never knew before as I would go through and really dig in and study. So as we look at Luke chapter 15 today, we're going to look at intimacy and the value placed on the one. And at the beginning of the chapter, Jesus is teaching to tax collectors. And in my version, it says, tax collectors and notorious sinners. We're not just your normal sinner. We got notorious sinners here that Jesus is speaking to here. So as he's teaching to them, you have the religious leaders that come up and they're like, why is he talking to these people? Why is he spending time with these tax collectors, these sinners? Well, Jesus picks up on that. And so right away he changes the focus of his teaching. I'm going to teach the religious leaders for a little bit. So he's going to teach them why he was spending so much time with these tax collectors and these notorious sinners, because he valued each and every one of them. And that if you went through the first part of it, talks about the parable of the lost sheep, where there was a shepherd who has 99 sheep, or 100 sheep, I'm sorry, one goes astray, and he leaves the 99 and he goes and he finds the one. And then he goes into another story about a lady who has 10 coins and she loses one. And her focus is not on the nine where she knows where they're at, but she's going and looking for that lost coin. And in each one of those cases, the lost sheep is found, the lost coin is found, and the shepherd celebrates finding his lost sheep. The lady celebrates finding her lost coin because she valued that one. And then Jesus relates it to the celebration that takes place in heaven when there's one person who turns their life over to Christ. So there is value in that one. So then he carries it to the parable of the lost son, and that's where we're going to pick up our reading today in Luke 15, starting in verse 11. Looked over here, there's nothing, right? We all have to look this way today, so we're all going to be doing this. So to illustrate the point further, Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. Now, the first thing we want to pick up here is that it was the son that initiated the action. You know, back, not unlike today, normally you would receive an inheritance when someone passes away. There was provision as well as maybe as the father was ready to retire and turn everything over to his sons, he would do that. But he would do that. In this case, it's the son who's initiating the action. He's the one that says, hey, I want to get my stuff. I want to get out. So he goes to the father, and the father agrees. And another important thing to notice right away is that it's not just the youngest son who receives his portion. At this point, the father goes ahead and he makes the division. And the older son receives his as well. So he divides his wealth between the sons. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land, and there wasted all his money in wild living. How many times do we hear stories today about people who come into wealth instantaneously, don't know how to handle it, and it's gone. Gone just like that. No different from the young son here. He wanted what he wanted. He goes out, but he wasn't prepared to handle what his father was giving him. And he goes and he squanders it. It's gone. He loses it. A phrase I thought about was you'll hear someone say, if you give someone enough rope, see if they'll hang themselves. That's kind of what he did here. The father let him have his portion. Now, we don't know what kind of debate took place before that, how much the father tried to plead with the son. All we know is that he did give the son what he asked for. Verse 14 says, about this time, his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. So now, not only is he out of money, not only is he not made any provisions for what could happen in the future, he lives in the present, spends it all. Now there's a famine that hits the land. So not only is his money gone, it becomes hard for him to find a way to get more money because there's not opportunity there. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. He's begging for a job. I got to get something now. You know, I have nothing. I got to find some way to get something. I'm starving. And he gets an opportunity, but he gets an opportunity with a pig farmer. And as you know, back then, pigs were not well thought of. Pigs were unclean animals. Jews would not even touch the pigs. Wanted nothing to do with them. The only job he could get is going out there and providing and feeding those pigs. And then not only is he feeding them, as they're traveling through and eating and rooting through what he's throwing down on the ground, he's in such a shape that that's starting to look pretty good to him. He doesn't care whether the pigs have rooted through it or not. He wants that because he needs something. I was thinking, I remember my mom. My mom was quite the little clean person, very neat. And she did not like it if she had a glass of soda. She didn't like it if one of us reached over and took a sip out of it. That was a no-no. We do not put our lips on mom's glass because now she wants nothing to do with it. So we learned valuable lessons back then not to get and take mom's stuff. But this young man, he can't be picky. He's got to take what he can get. And all that's available to him is the slop that he's feeding to these pigs. And he just desires it so much. Verse 17, it says, when he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have enough food to spare, and here I am, dying of hunger. Starting to click in for him now. All right? Things aren't going too well for me out here. But if I go back home, I might be able to get something. And as he's doing this, you're starting to see, and we're going to look at it a little bit later, you're starting to see a change in his attitude as well. He's realized he's made a mistake here. And the best way to rectify that is to go back. Go back home. And Hillsong movie that we showed here at the beginning of the year, Let Hope Rise. And if you've not seen it, a lot of it's a documentary about the Hillsong group. It kind of centers on a concert that they did in Los Angeles a couple years ago at the Forum. So throughout the movie, they'll play some of the songs that they performed. So before they go and do the song Oceans, there's a clip of Joel Houston, who's one of the worship leaders and the son of Brian Houston. He's giving he's doing the lead-in for the song. Well, the way they put the movie together is the lead-in for the song. And what he says is, we are at our best when broken because God gets to become more evident. It allows us to love, trust, and operate in his strength, not our own. So many times that's what we want. And Pastor Harvey and I were just talking about that a little while ago. Pastor Harvey shared a couple scripture with me. We think we know what to do. We think we got it figured out. Just like this young man said, give me my stuff. I'm going to go. I don't need to be here anymore. I know how to handle this. And then he didn't. When he tried to do it on his own, he didn't know what to do. So many times we do that in our walk with the Lord. We want to kind of tell him, this is where I think I should be right now. This is what I need you to do for me. Not, hey, God, what is it you have for me? So the son's starting to realize that, hey, I need some help here. I'm going to go back home. So what he does is he prepares in verse 18, he prepares a little little speech of what he's going to say when he goes back. I will go home to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you. I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. He's basically going to go and throw himself at the mercy of his father. I really messed up, Dad. Can you help me out? And he doesn't go in expecting to be called his son. He said, I'm not worthy of that. Just take me on as a servant. Hire me. I'll work. Okay, but I'm ready to come home. I've really messed up. I'm ready to come home. Can you help me out? That's the attitude that he's bringing to this. But verse 20 says, so he returned to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. See, the son had prepared this kind of speech of, hey, Dad, I messed up. I can't be your son anymore, but can I be your servant? He goes home. The dad sees him. Now, I was kind of thinking back in the tank when I would have messed up, and if I got in my dad's vision, and if he's running towards me, I might want to run away. Because I'm thinking he's not coming to hug me and kiss me, and he's got other things on his mind. But that's not the way this father was. He's there just ready to embrace his son who's coming home. Now at this point, the son could have skipped the speech. You know, that one that he had prepared in the previous verse. He could have skipped that. He could say, oh, good, Dad, all right, you're ready to take me back. Good, I'm your son. No, he continues on. This is how we know he's really changed, because he continues on in that spirit of humility. He goes on in verse 21 and says, his son said to him, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. He still gives the speech. But how does the dad react to that? Verse 22, but his father said to the servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet, and kill the calf we have fattened. We must celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine was dead and now has returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found. So the party began. Dad's having none of that. You can be a servant thing. He's not having any of that at all. This is his son. His son has returned back to him. And just like what we saw with the lost sheep and the lost coin, it's time to celebrate. And the great, as we make those comparisons there, the thing is with the sheep, being kind, sheep are not real bright. They just kind of wander. They need direction. That's why the shepherd's got to go find him to get him back. A coin is an inanimate object. It doesn't know that the coin doesn't know it's lost. It doesn't know that it needs to be found. The son knows that he had messed up, that he had strayed, and he needed to return, and he made that choice to return. We've been in our men's group, we've been going over the book The Comeback by Louis Giglio. And one of the things in the book that talks about is God is there waiting for us, but we have to initiate the return to him. We're the ones that initiate the comeback. We realize we're out of step. We're out of line with God. And once we go and we initiate that and we go to him, he is there with arms ready to take us in. And that's what the Father's doing here. He doesn't want to hear this servant stuff. You are my son. I don't care what's happened in the past. You are my son. Now, if you remember, he had two sons. So the older son, he was being faithful. He had stayed with Dad. He's been working. And in verse 25, it says, meanwhile, the older son was in the fields working. When he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house. He's probably thinking, wow, this is great. I've been out working hard all day. Got a little party going on here. I could use a little relaxation. Let's unwind a little bit. Until he finds out why there's a party going on. And he asked one of his servants what was going on. "Your brother is back," he was told, "and your father has killed the fattened calf. We are celebrating because of his safe return." The older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. His father came out and begged him, but he replied, "All these years I've slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me. And in all that time, you never gave me even one young goat for a feast with my friends. Yet when this son of yours comes back after squandering your money on prostitutes, you celebrate by killing the fatted calf." In our household, the word that we hear used a lot when we are in disbelief is, "Seriously?" We caught Bella using that a couple times. She goes, "Seriously?" We're going, "Where did she get that from?" And then we found out she got it from us. Because we do it all the time. The other day, Eli had a baseball game and up in Wright City, and we're leaving, and parking is kind of a mess up there. So I'm waiting to back out. Cars moving all around, so I wait. And there's this one car. I'm in a spot here. It's over here, just sitting there. So I'm thinking, okay, it's waiting for me to back out. No other action taking place, so I'm like, okay, I'm going to back out. As soon as I start backing out, that car starts moving. I'm like, "Seriously? How can I get out of here if you don't let me get out?" So I'm thinking that's what this older brother is saying at this time. "Are you serious? After all this, here's my little bratty brother has come back. He's went out. He's taken dad's money. He's wasted it. And now he's back and we're throwing a party for him. You have got to be kidding me." I had a great conversation with a friend not too long ago about one of the struggles he sees in some of the churches, that, and the term that he used was cocoon. Churches go into a cocoon. We stick with our own, and we don't look out beyond that, the people who are different than us, the people who really need to hear that message. We don't take it to them, forgetting that at one point we were one of those notorious sinners. Somebody had to come tell us about Jesus so that we could get into that fellowship with them. But then we stay closed, and we don't go out, and we don't go, and we don't share it with others. And that's what this brother's like right now. "I've done all this stuff, and my dad's not done one thing for me. And yet here's my brother who's went and squandered things, and he gets a party." And the brother just cannot handle that. The dad's desperately trying, verse 31. His father said to him, "Look, dear son, you have always stayed by me, and everything I have is yours." The father's trying to reassure the son. "I'm not holding it." Pastor Barry talked about that a minute ago. "I'm not holding anything back from you. What I have for him, I have for you." Just like our Heavenly Father has something for each and every one of us. The dad says, "Please, I'm not holding anything back from you." He said, "We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and he has come back to life. He was lost, but now he was found." Yes, the brother had messed up. The brother's made some mistakes. But he wants to right that. He's turning his life around. It calls for a celebration. It's not just taking him back and saying, "All right, son, it's good to have you back. Now go work." It's time for a celebration because he was lost. He was dead to that family for a while, and now he's back. And it calls for a celebration. Just as our father, and as I'll use this term again, our daddy, wants to have life with each and every one of us and is there to pick us up when we have fallen down. If most of you have kind of picked this up over time, or especially this past year and a half or so that Pastor Barry's allowed me to come and speak to you, I'm a very visual person. You can give me a manual on how to do something and it will mean nothing to me. When I buy something, and Carmen hates it, if I open that box and more than three screws or pieces fall out, she says, "That's complicated. I don't want to touch it." Well, we're going after it. But when I see folds, tab A and the slot B, perpendicular to edge C, that means nothing to me. Draw me a picture, and then I'll watch, I'll follow that. If I learn a new job, if I get a new position at work and I'm being trained, you throw a manual at me, it will mean nothing to me. I need to get my hands on. I need to do it. So I'm very visual. And because of that, I have a video I want to show you here about, I think paints an amazing picture of someone who's going through a struggle, but then has a dad that's there to pick him up. What you're going to see is a video. It's about a runner from Great Britain, Derek Redmond. Derek, as most track and field people are, his goal is to be with his team at the Olympics. He wants to run for his team, honor his country with his skills. In 88, he had some injury issues, and so he was unable to participate. But in 1992, he makes the team. He's in Barcelona, Spain, running for his country. And what we're going to see here is a video. It's a semifinal race. As he's going to the lead of this race, adversity hits him. But as you're going to see, he's not alone in how he deals with that adversity. So as you may have guessed, that crazy man running out of stands at a baseball cap was his dad. And as he came down to him, he said, "Son, you don't have to do this." And he said, "Yes, I do. I got to finish it." So dad says, "We do it together then." And he got him to the finish line. I thought I'd handle that better than that, but. And when I saw that video was a couple years ago at boot camp, Wild at Heart boot camp. And when you got to the scene where dad's wrapping his arms around him and he's putting his head on his dad's chest, and you got these track officials just trying to get him out of there, and dad takes his hand and shoos him away, and 600 men just scream, "Yes!" Because they knew what the dad was doing. And I thought about in James 4:8 when it says, "Draw near to God and he will draw near to you." Is he's taking his son. His son's putting his head on his chest and he's taking his son. We're going to finish it together. One final passage, Deuteronomy 31. Moses is about to transition leadership over to Joshua. And he's speaking to the Israelites. He says, "So be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not panic before them. For the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you." Then Moses called for Joshua, and as all Israel watched, he said to him, "Be strong and courageous, for you will lead these people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors he would give them. You are the one who will divide it among them as the grants of the land, as their grants of land. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you." But God is there. He is not going to leave our side. He is going to help see us through. So let's take this back to dads for just a second. If I could have all dads stand for just a moment. I have a challenge for you. I've already gotten a lot of trouble because I just exposed you to some alternative pop rock there with Creed. So I'm going to go a little different direction now to a noted theologian, country music legend, George Strait. George had a song a number of years ago where he's recounting as a child, as a young man, being in a fight at school and wondering how his dad's going to react. And his dad has a little piece of advice for him. I'm not going to tell you yet what it was. And then as he's grown into an adult, he has an opportunity to share that same piece of advice with his children. And then at the end of the song, it says he's had a dream where he's died and he's standing outside heaven's gates. And all of a sudden he's going, wait a minute, I'm in the wrong place. There's no way I'm going to get in here. I've done some bad things. There's no way I'm going to get in here. And he hears that same piece of advice. And that advice is, let me tell you a secret about a father's love. Secret that my daddy said was just between us. Daddies don't just love their children every now and then. It's a love without end. Amen. So I challenge you to take that to your children, your grandchildren. A lot of us are involved with grandchildren in our lives. Because, and this is for all of us, because we have a father that has that same love for us. He's not there once in a while. It's a love without end. Amen. You guys go ahead and have a seat. Father, as we come to close of your message, Lord, we just thank you for being our daddy, being there for us, wanting to, you know, about each and every one of us, and you want to have a relationship with each and every one of us. And even though we stray sometimes, Lord, you're there just to wrap your arms around us and to walk us through life. And if there are those here today, Lord, who maybe have not accepted you in their heart, I pray that today, Lord, they've heard something where they see the love that you have for them, and that they are ready to receive you, to let you walk by their side. And you praise things in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Barry.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.